Bon dia, good morning, and a very special welcome to people online. I know some of my friends from Angola are watching. Yes, I'm Michael Hoskin, and this month marks 4 years since I was accepted as an associate missionary with SIM Canada. I served in the city of Lubango, province of Uvila, Angola. It's in southern Angola, right there. I was there for 1 year, July 2021 to June of this year. Angola is a Portuguese nation, and yes, I speak a little Portuguese. I don't want to repeat too much from the other talks that I've given here over the years, but there are some important details. My aunt Peg and my uncle Steve Foster have been missionaries in Angola since 1978. And as Stephen mentioned, I made a few short trips to Angola in the past. But I was curious whether I had a greater calling in missions. Pastor Stephen's suggestion was I take a longer trip and see what would happen. Now, my missionary preparation was just a 2-week course, but it was very helpful to me. The other missionaries who were there came from different agencies in different countries, and collectively, we were going to places in Europe, Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. But we learned lessons together that applied to any foreign context. And the most important teaching that I received was the value of being vulnerable. Not to adopt a posture of superiority, but to accept you will make mistakes and you will need help when you're in a different culture. Now, the lectionary readings for this week were a bit challenging, but I see a link in the story of Job. And very briefly, Job is in a state of suffering. His helpful friends suggest to him that God is punishing him for the wrongs that he's committed. Job doesn't accept that, but he's in a very low place and questioning God. The verses preceding our lesson today, Job lamented, "Have pity on me, my friends, have pity, for the hand of God has struck me." And yet, where the lesson picks up, Job remains certain of God's promises. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God." Job did not enjoy his suffering, and even when God speaks to him at the end of the book, he does not directly answer the questions that Job has raised about suffering. I think there is an answer of sorts to be found in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians when he wrote about his wish for God to remove the thorn in his flesh, the thing that tormented him. And God answered Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul concluded, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So on those earlier trips to Angola, I assisted the library at ISTEL, that's the Instituto Superior de Teologia Evangelica no Lubango, and I expected most of my time during my year in Angola would be spent assisting in the library. Now, there's an association of seminaries across the continent of Africa called NetACT. They have a website with a library portal where seminaries can share books, articles, and other helpful documents with each other. And this was the thing ISTEL most wanted me to learn how to use and then promote to the professors and students. Unfortunately, NetACT doesn't contain very much Portuguese content. I ran 2 presentations on NetACT at ISTEL, but I received very little comment from the professors and students, likely because they couldn't read much material on the website. I did work in the library with my friend Fernando, teaching him how to catalog English books, but in the grand total, I didn't spend a lot of time in the library. initially it bothered me I wasn't doing very much work. And feeling depressed, I enlisted a prayer partner from this congregation. The two of us met together every week for the rest of my year. The other thing that I had been prepared to do was to teach ESL. Well, I wasn't too serious about it. I thought, well, okay, maybe if I have a bit of spare time. But since my schedule was very open, teaching English soon became my primary work. I taught ESL in my house. I taught ESL at an alcohol rehab center near my house. I taught ESL at the CML hospital. I taught the professors at Ishtel, and I taught students at Ishtel. Some of you saw the stories that I shared on Facebook about classroom interactions, and here's an example of an exercise. I had asked students to change "there's a lot of coffee in the kitchen" to the negative, and he answered, "there isn't much coffee in the chicken." So I corrected him on that, but I do confess that many times after that, when I asked that student a question, I would change the assigned text to make the subject either kitchen or chicken. Now before, when I visited Angola, I was a guest of my aunt and uncle. But this time I had to be independent from them. For that matter, my aunt, my uncle, and most of the missionaries that I knew from my previous visits all took their home assignment right after I arrived, so I tried not to take that personally. So yes, I am an introvert, but even we introverts need people in our lives to connect with. It's not easy for me to form strong bonds with people, so I knew this was one of my vulnerabilities I was going to have to confront. I knew that I had to make friends among Angolans, and that is actually what happened from teaching English. Although I was their teacher, I developed a peer-to-peer relationship with most of my students. We laughed a lot in class, but we also interacted outside of the classroom. Students would wait for me to pack up my things and then escort me home on foot. Once I met a student on my way to go shopping, and he offered to accompany me and help me pick out what I needed, and that was great because I knew nothing about what the good brands of deodorant in Angola were. As we became more comfortable, my friend Jalen and I held monthly parties where my students could practice their English using word games. When I noticed my students seemed a bit tired, I began bringing coffee to class. And my students opened up to me. Sometimes they just wanted to practice their English, and other times they had questions about Canada for me. When they were about to celebrate the Dia de Independencia, which is November 11th, I told them, oh, we also have a holiday on that day. That's Remembrance Day. So I had to give them a brief history lesson about World War I, and then pointed out to them that actually Angola had participated in that conflict, and that was a piece of their own nation's history they hadn't heard about. So let me tell you about a few of my students. Elias is a pastor near Ishtel. The church is in a neighborhood called Mapunda. I lived in the neighborhood Lodge, and I went to a church in Lodge in part because it was very close to my house. But one week, I asked Elias if I could visit his church in Mapunda. So that Sunday, he led me there on foot through the adjacent neighborhood, Kalumbiru. We weren't all that far off the main streets where all the heavy traffic was, but just stepping down that side street, it suddenly felt much less urban because there was no pavement, it was all dirt roads. Then he took me down an alleyway and through to a clearing where suddenly everything opened up. There was suddenly green grass, trees, a view down a slope towards a river, which Elias explained separated Kalumbiru from Mapunda. On the other side of the river was the Mapunda church. And Elias explained that the bridge that now connected Kalumbiru and Mapunda had been built by the Mapunda Church. They are a church who are literally building bridges. Anaryu, if he was not laughing or smiling, then I knew something was wrong, because he was very seldom stoic. He was a tenacious English student. His mouth would get ahead of his mind. He would try to answer English questions in class as quickly as he could, and sometimes that tripped him up. But he also had an impressive memory. If no one else in class could remember something I taught the previous day, I would turn to him and ask him to repeat what I had taught, and usually he remembered everything. Kalawao seemed to struggle at the beginning of the semester. He asked me a lot of questions. When everyone else in class seemed to understand the lesson, I would have to go over it a second time just with Kalawao. I didn't want to leave him behind, so I would stop and explain, but I worried for a while whether I was being fair to the rest of the class. Well, maybe there were others who didn't understand the lesson, and Kalawao was the only one who was willing to admit he didn't understand. Because if you saw the marks that he turned in, you would not think from his grades that he was struggling. He always had solid marks, so that time that I spent helping him was both necessary and successful. I don't have time to mention all of my students. I had so many, but I also want to mention Serafin. One day, Serafin shared a document with me about his hope to become a missionary to the Nayaneka, one of the people groups in the area. Many Nayaneka don't even speak Portuguese. And although I'm a missionary, I'm not exactly an evangelist, but fortunately, I knew some other missionaries who could help him. My friends Peter and Reni had just overseen translating the Jesus film into Nayaneka, and I had been making copies of the Jesus film to distribute, so Serafin received a copy. Then I introduced Serafin to Fran, another SIM missionary who is printing materials in Nayaneka. So the last that I heard, Serafin has been working with Fran. Just 2 days ago, in fact, Serafin sent me photos and videos of the village that he's been reaching out to. I did not foresee enjoying ESL so much. When very little was going on at the library, I persevered because I had made a commitment to spend a year in Angola regardless of what happened. ESL turned out to be the biggest part of my ministry in Angola. But in that period where I felt like I wasn't being very helpful to others or doing much work, God taught me something. One evening, I attended a U of C class on Zoom. It was teaching good mental health practices, and their focus was on helping people through the pandemic, but I saw that there were applications in a missionary context as well. And they described the ability to become so absorbed in your work that you lose track of all time, and they termed that as flow. They told us, determine where in your life you experience flow and make space for it. So 2 days, a mere 2 days after that class, a medical professional in Kavango, one of my other SIM colleagues, sent me a WhatsApp message asking if I could find a medical journal with some very specific information on how to administer a drug intravenously. Now, my medical experience consists of usually knowing how to wear my scrubs the right way around, but I promised I would look. I found the exact answer that they needed. I forwarded on the information, and then I happened to look at the timestamp from when my colleague had sent me the message to when I sent the answer to her. And I saw that I had been reading medical journals for more than an hour. It felt like maybe 5 minutes. And I realized then, for me, flow is researching and helping others. By the end of the trip, I was very happy to remain in Lubangu, and I could have stayed, but I had promised the university that I would return for July. And I'm still involved in ministries in Angola. I'm still providing advice to my friend Fernando in the library. I'm mentoring one new author, co-authoring a book with another first-time author. I'm helping to build up that NetAct library portal with more Portuguese resources in the hopes that I can encourage Ixtel's profs and students to make use of it. I'm confident I'm going back to Angola, but I do not know when or for how long. When I started teaching English, my only qualifications were I could speak English. But now I'm passionate about it, and it is necessary at Ixtel for their master's program. In the end, all of my plans did not work out, and neither did all of Ixtel's plans that they had for me. But God's plan moved ahead. I learned how to be adaptable to it, especially through the relationships I formed. And as we say, one more person, one more step. I thank you all for your support to me in this past year. God bless you.